Welcome to the Period Besties podcast with Stasha and Katie. Think About It is chatting with your best friends about all the TMI stuff you've never talked about before with two period coaches who've been helping hormones collectively for over 20 years now. I'm Stasha.
And I'm Katie, and we're pulling back the curtain on what it's like in the world of menstrual coaching. From puberty to menopause and everything in between, we're here to show you how period coaching can save the day. We'll share practical tips and information you can put to immediate use to improve your hormones and happiness.
We're removing the mystery, ending the taboo, and shining a light on just how powerful period coaching can be.
So whether you need period coaching or are considering becoming a period coach yourself, these episodes are going to help you. We'll share stories, coach live on air, and bring smart, savvy guests to share their wisdom too. Let's start today's episode.
I learned so much about technology on this episode and how Natalie and her father were really like the forefront, I guess, of technology when it comes to apps and tracking cycles. And what I thought was just so funny, I was thinking about it, like when I was younger, I would just like track it on my wall calendar. And now to have data like in my phone and just how far we've advanced, it was really awesome to hear like their story and how it started with her dad and now she's the CEO of the company and all of that. And especially what they're doing for teenagers, like so inspiring.
I know one of the things that really stood out for me was how she was saying that they would bring up the fact that like, oh, but how are we going to make money at this? And she would go, I don't care. We don't make money. We're just going to do it because we need to do it because I want to do it. So I don't even care. Like, let's just do it.
No, such opposite of, cause she's German, she lives in Germany. So it's like a completely different perspective on starting a company. And that was really refreshing.
It was such an alignment too, with how I feel like I've been operating in my business as well. Like, I'm just going to do these things because I think it's important and I love the conversation and I want to put it out there. And I'm not going to worry about how we're going to monetize it right now. I just want to put it out there. So it was just so like refreshing and inspiring to hear somebody else who had that same mindset and it works and it is working for. It was a little confidence booster for me behind my business scenes as well. So it's like, yes, I'm on the right track.
You are. You definitely are.
I think we should say is that we'll have a discount code in the show notes. So at the end, if you want to jump in with a Daisy or something yourself. We'll have all that good stuff in the show notes for you.
So listen in and enjoy the next episode. Today we have a very special guest, Natalie Rechberg. She is the CEO of Valley Electronics and founder, creator of the Daisy and the Tina, which if you listened previously with our episode with Holly, she actually works with Natalie with Tina, bringing fertility awareness to teenagers. So Natalie, welcome. We're so excited to have you here and learn so much more about these amazing products.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
So we like to start each episode off by hearing a little bit more about you, who you are, what you do. So fill us in.
Yeah, I'm Natalie Rechberg, founder of Daisy Fertility Tracker and Tina Period Tracker and Education App for teens. I'm the CEO of Valley, and I live in Germany. I'm Swiss German, and I'm very passionate about body literacy and menstrual cycle health, and in technology. And that's why we created, we create fertility trackers and period tracking devices for women.
It's very exciting because correct me if I'm wrong, but the Daisy Fertility Tracker was one of the first like hardware things out there for fertility tracking.
Yes, we actually launched her in 2014, in March of 2014. So she's actually turning 10 this year. I'm just realizing. Oh my God. Yeah. And she was the first fertility tracker, which connected to an app. Yeah, that's correct. And it was an interesting ride to get there right? Like just to give a little bit of a background, I have been grown up in a family of natural family planning. My father was the first man who actually digitalized natural family planning and put it into a device, like all the, you know, the statistics and the algorithm and things like that, to make it more accessible and easier to track cycles for the women at home. And he created that in 1986. And then I joined actually the company in 2008 and was learning everything about fertility tracking over many years. And went then to the US to actually become the distribution partner of my father's devices, Ladycom, in the US. And that's where I realized, I think it has to be even easier. We need it on our phone. We need it, you know, right there. We have to be able to share it with our partner, with our gynecologist. Like all the data has to be right in front of me. And that's when the whole idea came up with the app. And then I left the US again and came to Switzerland to actually create the Daisy device, because in the US I didn't have the network or knew how to, you know, find the right partners to do it. Yeah, and now we actually have already the second version of Daisy out. And yeah, that's what I'm doing pretty much every day.
I love it. I want to hear a little bit more about like what it was like to kind of be the first to launch this tech device for menstrual cycle health. Like, did you find it challenging as a woman? Like, was it, because it was so new. Like before that, we were tracking like on our wall calendars, right? So what was it kind of to step into that space and change it at the same time?
Well, because, you know, because I grew up with this kind of stuff, it was for me not really a new thing, right? So I never had the feeling, hey, it was the first. I'm also not a big fan of this whole like first and best and stuff like that. It was just, you know, my mission. I had this passion and I was like, I have to do it. Nobody could have told me, don't do it. I was like, I have to, right? And so I didn't struggle that much because I was in strong belief. This is what I need to do. And that's what I did. And when I'm very passionate about something, yeah, nobody can really stop me. Actually, my own father wanted to stop me because he said the ad world is not going to survive. Like, that's all crap and apps should not be there and stuff. And that's why he actually sent me also to Switzerland, because he was like, here in Germany, I don't want to have you here in Germany. With your ideas to Switzerland. Yeah, and then, you know, and then I got great people who helped me. I had a lot of support from women and gynecologists and users of the Ladycom during the time who helped me create it, right? Like, because it's one thing, I know what I want, but what, do really everyone wants this or not? Yeah, so it took some time. Started the whole process in 2012. And during that time, I was also writing a patent for it and then creating it. It took two years, yeah, until it launched. And sometimes you are like, oh my God, will it ever come to market or not? yeah, it was quite challenging, of course, to create a medical device, to get the technical problems resolved, you know, which every new device has and things like that. But we managed, and since then, yeah, we are enhancing the app and giving more knowledge over the app and stuff. At the beginning, it was pretty much only like you're fertile, you're not, right? Like things like that, and it's advancing. And what we are seeing now in the world, I mean, oh my God, there are so much femtech devices out there, which are amazing and which are helping, you know, to bring health to the woman at home, and they become their own little yeah, gurus on what's okay and what's wrong and what not. Yeah, so it's an exciting industry to be in.
I for bet sure. It seems like a lot of the stories of women in tech are more horror story oriented, but maybe that's just American culture versus
Well, you know, it depends what I always say. It depends what you are wishing for. My goal was never to build like a huge enterprise of like whatever, right? Like I had very small ambition, right? I said like this, even if only Swiss or German people are using it, it's fine. Now we have users worldwide and it's the nicest gift everyone could, you know, give us. But it's always their own ambition, right? Like,
yeah,
we never were looking for investors, which makes it difficult, yeah, to find investors with something like that. We did it step by step. We became a very sustainable, slow kind of company. You know, we grew over the years slowly, yeah.
So before we get too far into these awesome things, I think for the audience that has no idea what a Daisy or a Tina is, can you give us a little rundown of both of them, what they do, maybe their differences?
Yes. So Daisy is a fertility tracker with which you every morning when you wake up, before you get moving, you measure your basal body temperature under the tongue. And then the little computer actually calculates where you are in your cycle. And then you can enter your menstruation when you have it on the device or also on the app. And you can connect the device with the app, and there you see your temperature curve, your calendar, your predictions. You can enter sexual intercourse, cervical mucus, and things like that. And then you can also share the app with your partner, or you can share your data with your doctor, right? And the algorithm and all that is on the device itself. So it's not on the app. The data sits on the device itself. You can use it standalone or you can use it with app. It depends, right? Because many women don't want always to be connected to an app. So that's possible too. And it's for women in their fertile years. They plan their pregnancies with that. They know or see like what's going on with their cycle. They see if there are irregularities, things like that. So you use it between like 24 and 40, 49, 50, like until menopause pretty much. With Tina is developed completely different. She actually, you know, she's for teenagers. It's more, even more on education, like really giving teens something at hand, which is kind of playful but serious, right? Like what's happening in your body during puberty? What's the hormones? What is a period? Why it's good to have a period? Why it's amazing to actually have periods? And things like that. So it's really much a body literacy tool, and doesn't speak about sex or fertility. We are leaving that out. It's more about like, hey, this is my body and what's happening inside of my body, without the connection of a partner or whatever, right? So it's just sitting in their own right. And that's Tina. And Tina is for people from prior the menarche through like when it comes up with fertility. And then if you are becoming, you know, interested in that kind of topic and things, then you can transfer your data to the Daisy. And then you have the fertility stuff as well.
The perspective of a positive app where you're explaining why it's awesome to have a cycle and the importance of it is just such a refreshing take in the world that is generally telling you to turn, you know, there's the article that comes out every 6 months, you don't need to have a period, you know? So it's so refreshing to hear there's this app being developed for the younger generations who to actually show the importance of it. I love that so much.
Yeah, I love it too. I wish I would have had it, right? Like, same. I didn't have it. Even with my father growing up, you know, who was so into the topic, he has four daughters. And he never talked with me about periods and stuff. And I was like, my gosh, like what can you give teens to the hand? If you empower them already, knowing about their body during that age, I mean, their self-esteem, their understanding of their body, their overall health, sensitivity also about stuff which isn't right. will grow. And that is insanely empowering. I didn't have it, but learn it later.
Yeah. No, I've, a lot of my friends have daughters and they're getting their periods now and introducing the Tina to them and they love it. You know, they love talking to their friends about it. Like there's a whole new positive approach to this, which I love watching and witnessing. And they get their period, they call, they're like so excited. They're like, okay, what's next? What book should I read? Like, and because, you know, they're growing, they've grown up with technology. They're like, is there an app for that?
Yeah, is there an app for that? Yeah. And it's, it's just important. You know, we know that when we look at pain, for example, right? Like we have normalized pain, menstrual cycle pain, whatever, like since so many years, which is just not right. Like it shouldn't be painful. Of course, there is something which is, yeah, you feel it and things like that. But it shouldn't be painful. And if it's super painful, then there's something wrong. And when we know that, and then we can better, you know, also get faster diagnosis and things like that. So the menstrual cycle is the fifth vital sign. And it's super important to have a look at it. Can't miss it.
When did the Tina come out? Like when, how did you guys develop that? And how long did it kind of take to develop this? Because correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first thing I've seen for girls getting their periods, like an app and device.
Yes. Yeah, there was nothing, or there is nothing like it out there. So what happened, we are very close to everyone in the company. And one of our customer support women, they have teenagers and things, and they always mentioned, hey, I cannot believe it. Like, I need a Daisy for my teenager. Her moods are all over the place. Like, I don't even know how to deal with her and things like that. And they came to us and said, hey, why are we not looking into teenager health, like menstrual cycle health? And when I heard that, I was, of course, like, whoa, love explosion, right? And was like, oh my God, we have to do it. But then everything said, of course, business-wise, like, don't do that. Like, don't. Because how are you going to sell to teenagers? Like, that's just pretty much impossible. Also, like, how are you convincing parents, which are not themselves in tune with their bodies, that their daughter needs it? So super challenging, right? And then we said, well, you know, we just ignore it. We just ignore the business aspect and say, hey, we have to do it because it's something which is so deeply rooted and wished in our hearts. And then, of course, the folly, you know, like we sat down and said, okay, how can we make this accessible, easy to read, like fun? Because these are serious topics. How do you make them fun, right? Like without being too funny. Yeah? It's not about being funny, yeah? But loosening it up and stuff. Yeah, and then we took, I think it took 1.5 years until we had everything in place. And I found amazing app developers and graphic designers, which were themselves head over toes when they heard about this, right? Men who have teenagers, you know, they were like, oh my God, this is the best thing. We need to create it. And it was really cool. And then, of course, we did a bunch of surveys trying to figure out what is the biggest pain point and things like that. And then we launched her last year in January. That's when she launched, yes, in the US. But we didn't do a big marketing launch. Like, you know, we always are believers, like we first have to make baby steps. And once, you know, then we make a little bit of money and then we put it back into the product and, you know, things like that. So it's not like a big bang marketing launch where you, you know, see her on Target everywhere or something. Yeah. And now she's like also a year old. There is another teenager app in the UK, which is called Luna, which is there too. They are focusing more just on the app side. So the hardware, they don't have a hardware And for us, the hardware is important because that's the only way you can really predict or see when the period starts. Because it doesn't help if you're just, you know, calculating into an app and then, you know, it's like really plus minus 10 days or what. I mean, that doesn't give comfort. So we said, no, we need the same basal body temperature tracking as we do for fertility or for cycle awareness. And that was, of course, also very tricky because we were like, are they ever going to use this? Are they going to really measure in the mouth? Like, are they? And then we had a user base and the teenagers actually all said, well, I would definitely measure. It takes 20 seconds. It's not a big deal. I'm not afraid anymore that I'm just suddenly getting my period in the classroom. And so we said, okay, we will do it. Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah, really like fertility is a big subject, and especially in the US with a lot of the laws coming in and the wariness of like knowing your fertility and access to birth control and stuff like that is changing in the US based on different states and laws. So I've always been a really big fan of knowing your fertility and understanding it independently of something like a birth control pill, because that, you know, like I know people that failed for personally. So it's like knowing that makes a huge difference. But I also really think understanding your cycle, knowing when you're ovulating, knowing that your period is coming, especially as a teenager and in perimenopause, those two bookends, because then it gets erratic. But if you know when you ovulate, then you can expect your period and you can understand that stuff. And then in those fertile years, if something goes wrong or something's off, your cycle is usually the first place it shows up. So just having a regular tracking system where you're paying attention to your cycle, you know when you ovulate, you're confirming ovulation, you're not just relying on cervical mucus, but you're really confirming it with basal body temperature, has always been something I thought was just so important for so many reasons, fertility being one of many reasons. And while I understand fertility is an easier subject to talk about, it's not as taboo as, you know, understanding your cycle just for, you know, periods are taboo and gross, right? We don't want to talk about it. But just knowing all that information, I felt like this is the thing that is missing from a lot of just confidence in your day-to-day life, because most people are, like you said, surprised. Oh, I don't understand why, you know, I feel like this. Well, and then, you know, like all those memes where it's like, oh, now I know why I was crying. I got my period today. And it's like, well, you could have known that though. Like if you were tracking your cycle, you would have been like, oh, I'm crying today because I'll get period in a couple. Like it could be really easy, but we're making it so hard and such a mystery because we just refuse to talk about it and acknowledge it. So I love these kinds of things where it makes your basal body temperature easy. It makes confirming ovulation easy. It makes understanding your cycle much easier. And I'm particularly in love with the concept of this for teens so that they're just starting off with all of this information. Like just imagine what your self-confidence would be today if you had had that information then. My God.
I know, yeah. Right? And like all of the like fighting with your parents when you're a teenager and then getting your period and being like, oh my God, that was why I was so mean to my mom yesterday. And instead of getting punished to my room, it could be like, well, mom, look, I'm getting my period tomorrow. This is why I feel like this. I'm crawling out of my skin, but I don't have the words to explain it yet. All of that would have been so different. Cause it's like, you look back at your life, right? And you're like, oops, might not have had that fight with my boyfriend, or I might not have had that fight with my parents if I had just understood where I was in my cycle. I think about that often, to be honest.
Well, my poor mom was menopause while I was going through puberty because I was a late in life baby. So my dad went golfing for a couple of years. Meanwhile, my mom and I were doing that, you know, I was coming in and mom was going out and it was just like, oh my God, it was just it's fine, but it was also a bit of a mess. There were a couple of fights that I look back on now and think, wow, that could have just been completely avoided had we had any concept of what was happening to either of us at the time. Like nobody was at fault. It was just frankly, the patriarchy that was the problem there.
Yeah, but I think even like that opens up with the way to communication, right? And then that makes it way easier. Because then mm-hmm. you can just say, hey, I'm really angry right now. I'm in my luteal phase. I'm like, seriously, I cannot deal with your stuff right now. Like, I'm on a cleaning mission. Just leave me alone. And that opens up communication. I mean, I do it with my husband all the time.
Yeah.
And I say,
have it on. They have a graphic that I made that has the four phases of it. And it's on the refrigerator. And I just move the magnet. To where
they're that smart.
Also then, right? And we also made the period card or deck. And so now in our house, we often will all just pull out a card and be like, this is where I am. This is what I need. Like, I'll pull out that nap card and just like leave it on the table. And it's just like, I am in a rest phase right now. I need naps and relaxation. So we use it a lot for communication in a way where it's not like, I don't have to sit you down. You don't have to have the talk. We have shorthand in the house for a reason. Let's use it.
I'm a big scheduling it on the calendar, like sending it to my husband. Like, it's just, I know when I ovulate and then I schedule it 2 weeks out. Like, hey, FYI.
I
was going to say, what's your favorite thing about doing this work?
I mean, it's the women, you know, like I can deal, you know, I'm all day surrounded by women health, by topics, which, yeah, interest me because I am a woman and, you know, things like that. I mean, it's my biggest passion, really, like to talk and to give them also a tool, you know, seeing happy customers and saying, hey, oh my God, you know, like now I know why I feel like this or that. And I tried to get a baby and it worked and, you know, things like that. I mean, they just make me so happy. And the same for teens, like empowering them and just being in this, you know, in the cycle of women, all doing their own steps towards better women's health and stuff. I mean, that is just my biggest heart opening thing, passion. Yeah.
I'm curious because you mentioned this earlier about your dad and he had four daughters, so you have three sisters, and you really never talked about your periods growing up. So I'm curious, like, how was it when you did get your period? Like, what was kind of that conversation in the house? Like, we ask like our guests like their first period story, but I'm curious because dad kind of had all this knowledge, right? And with four daughters, like how that kind of was a little bit more.
Yeah, we didn't speak about it, like not at all. The weirdest thing, I'm asking myself a lot of times why that is, because I think Germans also were pretty conservative, or back then they were. And it was just not topic. My parents divorced when I was pretty young. And so I grew up with my father and, you know, I was living in my father's home, you know, like I had a nanny and stuff and things like that. So it was just not talked about. I got it during I was sledding down the hill with my cousins. There it was in white snow. It was a nightmare. So then I ran up the house and I knew that my nanny during the time had like OBs, tampons and stuff. So I shoveled it in, not really knowing what I'm doing as well, because I realized like the plastic was still on. I didn't realize, you know, how you have to use it. So it was pretty crazy actually when you think about it, right? And so we didn't speak about it because it was a male run household with a bunch of women in it. When my sisters are younger, so they did not know about anything about that. So yeah, we just did not speak about it. And then I learned a little bit myself. And of course, then I asked my girlfriends and things like that. Yeah.
It's funny because one of the speakers we'll have on the podcast down the line, a period coaching school graduate and a good friend of mine, Manifa, grew up with a mom who was a midwife I believe, midwife or doula. I think midwife. But she said the same thing. She grew up in a house where you could, you know, that was like fertility and cycles and stuff was a huge part of their lives because of what her mom did. And she had a little bit of like more knowledge than the rest of her friends, but still like she didn't get that. She was like, why wouldn't my mom tell me all of this stuff? Like, why? How did this just not come up? It's funny that like, I always thought like, man, it would have been nice had my parents known any of this information, but now I'm kind of realizing it didn't matter.
I think now there is the chance because we speak about it so openly now, right? In the media, on Instagram, everyone is educating on it.
Yeah.
That now we have the big chance to just make it so normalized that it's so easy, you know, to speak to your son, hey, mommy has her period. Wait a second, I need something. Or here, this is a vulva instead of like whatever we say, right? Like things like that. I think it's we are now changing the world by speaking about it openly, and that is a big change. They didn't back then.
It was a big change.
Yeah, I definitely talk to my boys about it because they follow me into the bathroom, so they see me. So I just talk about it. And it's not even a thing. They're like, mommy has her period. And they're 3 and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how it should be, right? Like, we have to educate boys as well.
Yeah.
I mean, really. So, but I think that's going to change in the next years. I mean, in women's health or topics, everything is super slow. But at least, you know, like, we are getting somewhere.
Well, you know, and it's one of the questions that we generally ask more towards the end of the podcast, but since we're on the subject, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. But what do you see in the future for menstrual cycles and technology and all like the whole industry, you know, the whole menstrual industry?
Well, I think, I mean, it's such a big part of women's health, so it will just become the normal thing to track and to watch. So I think that's already where we are getting to. I mean, so many are already incorporating it now, you know, like Apple Watch, like is suddenly incorporating menstrual cycles, you know, it's called the fifth vital sign. And, you know, we are understanding, hey, belongs as body temperature, and pulse, et cetera. It belongs to analyzing, like, is everything in line? So I think that will definitely be the future, that we will see this everywhere, I hope. I think, of course, there needs way more research, like on endometriosis, PCOS, all that things, what women's health, but not just reproductive health in general. So hopefully, with speaking more and more about all topics, pain, etc., we will have more research into these areas. And then we will, of course, it will just help the overall healthcare system, and will also bring more precision medicine, you know, like really individual, like what's the individual needing and not just a moment situation at the doctor's office, like, you know, but tracking over time, different parameters, giving the holistic view of what's going on inside of you will help for us to live happy lives.
Yeah, and just all that data, like I just went to a new doctor 2 weeks ago and she was like, talk to me about your cycle. I'm like, well, here it is, how long do you want to go back? Here's all the data. And she was like, wow, okay, like let's dive in, like let's talk about what's going on. Just having all of that data that, you know, previous generations just didn't have, you know, that's going to help me, I hope, have a more easeful transition into perimenopause.
Totally.
Sure.
For me too. I'm hitting perimenopause now too. You know, I'm sensing already things. My cycle is still pretty regular, but it will definitely help because you have already the mindset and you know yourself already. And then you see a minor change and you can help yourself. You can supplement or you can help yourself with lifestyle changes and stuff to make it easier. No.
So you've been in tech for a long time, especially women's tech. What kind of advice would you give to anybody, woman that wants to kind of go into more of the period menstrual tech side of that world, because it's still, we're in it. So like we see so much of it, but it's still such a small piece of the tech puzzle, you know?
I always say, do it. If you have really the passion and the why you want to do this, if you know and understand your own why, then you should definitely do it. And you will find way help. You know, it's, I feel often, especially female entrepreneurs are reluctant to ask for help, or they feel like, oh gosh, I have to do it myself or something. And what I've learned over the years, that asking for help, especially women, is not, is good, is a good thing. And it will be helping you, you know? And I think that is something not to forget. Like, ask for help, like ask everyone, like be that pushy and just ask around. Like, can you help me? How do I do this, etc.? Because we all are in the same boat and want others to succeed and bring change.
I agree fully. The asking for help thing is like such a huge piece. You know, we talk about this often, like how you have to have your biz bestie, your period bestie, like you have to have your community and support and ask for help and reach out and find the people. Like you can't be the best at everything. So go find the people who fill those gaps, you know, especially with like running a business, those behind the scenes stuff, you know, like I come from an arts background. I'm not my own accountant. Can I do it? Sure. Could I learn it? Yes. I'm not bad at math. I used to do my own taxes back in the day. But when I started my own business, I was like, this is not a skill that I want to spend my time and energy learning. I'm just going to hire an accountant, right? Like you find those people to fill those gaps of the things. And I think that's an important reminder for people because a lot of women have to do everything themselves. But in reality, we don't have to do everything ourselves. Just because society wants you to work like you don't have kids and parent like you don't work doesn't mean that you actually can do that. You actually do need, you know, help and support, and it's tough for that kind of thing. So it actually segues lovely into one of the questions that I have for you is, how do you take care of yourself? What are your self-care non-negotiables?
I don't do podcasts on my period.
Excellent.
And it's already difficult to get me in my luteal phase.
Good.
I really watch out for that because I know what stresses me out extremely. So I just know that. And then, of course, I go every day at 4 p.m. I normally walk with my husband for 1 hour in the forest to get our brains, you know, all the stuff out, to be then there for our kids. And I do horseback riding.
Well, that sounds lovely.
And Pilates. I do a lot of exercise because that brings me to my body. It just helps. I have a couple of menstrual cycle rules, you know, like I schedule parties it's just how it is in my follicle phase. And when I have to go to trade shows, I try at least, you know, to be in a way, like to try to be there when I'm in my follicle phase, the same as with podcasts or interviews. Mm-hmm. And the luteal phase, I'm there to execute stuff. It's not a bad time of the month, not at all, but I just use it for different stuff. I'm really annoying at the team, you know, I'm really picky then, and I find all mistakes.
No, but that's so important to really schedule around your cycle. I mean, I talk about it, Sasha talks about it, like it's so important to do that. And I'm way more clear and focused. And I know when we're doing episodes and I am about to get my period, my brain is like way up here and Sasha like knows it. So she's like, okay, I'm in the first phase. Like I've got you. That's why it's good to have a team. So that brings me to my question too. Cause if you are kind of managing yourself like that, have you set up your team in that way as well? Like, do you have a team that, and are they also in sync with their cycle and working with their cycle?
Most of the women in our offices, yes. I did actually ask them because I got a question from someone on LinkedIn about it. And I was not sure if they in a way cycle sync or not. And most of them do, but there are also some which just track their fertility and they just don't, yeah, they don't care about the rest. So it's different. It's not everyone is really living their lives after it, which is fine, you know, but I know Holly is, for example, we always communicate and she tells me, no, I can't have a call or during that time. And I'm like, okay, I get it. And so a lot of people I work with are like that, but we have some which just don't. They don't incorporate it.
Yeah, we find the same. My team all have endometriosis and or PCOS. So everyone is very much like, I really need to be aware of my cycle. And actually our Slack settings are not in a meeting on a call. It's the five phases of the cycle. I have a deep luteal phase that I use in my work. And so whenever we see somebody click over to deep luteal, it's a quick like, okay, what do we need to wrap up? What needs to change? Is there anything that, like, what can I take off your plate? And, you know, vice versa. So we really are aware of where everyone is in their cycles so that we can, you know, put things in draft rather than send or, you know, like, all right, let's wrap stuff up so that you can go take a week and just relax and take care of yourself properly. And I find it makes everything's so much easier for us because we're not feeling that, you know, like, oh my gosh, I have to drag myself out of bed and go do this thing. It's quite nice, but it's also, you know, we all have period problems. So it's a way of really self-care through our work, in fact, where oftentimes work is the opposite of self-care.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's how it should be.
Yeah. It works well. It works really well for us. So it's lovely. And it's always fun when we bring somebody new in because they're like, oh my God, this is magic.
Oh my God.
I never knew this way.
That's so awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So emojis and stuff, we don't do that yet on Slack. Because, I mean, you know, all the technical guys, we have a lot of guys still also in the company. I always wanted to have an only women's company, but I never managed so far.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
And the guys are there.
I don't know how it would work. If we had men, maybe we'd give them moon cycle phases instead of going just straight into the menstrual cycle phases. Maybe we'd use moon as code instead. But in any case, it works for us because we're all ladies. So we're all menstruating. So it works out well. I know we need to wrap things up. So we have a speed round, but before we cut to the speed round, tell us where people can find you, any of the goodies that they need to know about.
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. That's pretty much the best, Anna Natalie.Rechberg. And especially for those who are planning, you know, a new business in this field, reach out. I'm completely open. You can always reach out. And then there is daisy.me, the website for Daisy. There's mytina.com. We are also on Instagram under Daisy Fertility Tracker and we are Tina. And there we share a lot about menstrual cycle health information and things like that. And yeah, that's where you can find me or us.
Awesome. Everyone go check it out. Tina's been doing some fun things. I really enjoy watching Tina grow and share about periods and everything. Okay, so here's the fun part. We are going to ask a bunch of questions. Go with your first instinct, your gut reaction. Please don't overthink this.
Okay, let's try.
We're going to have fun. Okay, so what is your biggest craving? I don't know if you heard me. What is your biggest craving?
My biggest craving, gummy bears.
And what do you eat when you get that craving? Do you eat the gummy bears?
Yes, I eat the gummy bears.
I love it.
What's your favorite way to move?
Dance.
Yes. What's the number one self-care go-to when you're really stressed out?
Breath.
I like that. What music do you listen to when you're working?
Techno.
So German.
Yeah, techno and rave. Like, I'm seriously, yeah.
Well, you and my husband could work together because he's right there with you. The two of you could sit in the same rave room and get a lot done, I'm sure. Favorite country or place that you visited?
Africa.
Where in Africa?
I've been in Namibia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe, and it really opened my heart, like all this nature and to being so close to what's like, it's becoming you. It's crazy. Like, I'm an absolute fan. Yeah.
Beautiful. Your favorite holiday?
Beach.
Nice. I love it. Any food that you hate?
Yeah, what is it in Milch rice. I don't know what it is in English. Milk rice.
Milk rice?
Milk rice.
Like,
milk. Like a pudding?
Like rice pudding?
Yeah, bleh. Yeah, that. No, no. Hot.
I love it. I don't know if they have this in Germany, but you've been to the US a lot, so you might be, this might resonate, but pumpkin spice, yay or nay?
Yay.
Do you cook?
Yes.
What's your favorite place to work? Where's your favorite place to work?
Mountains.
Nice. All right, last question. What's your ideal Friday night?
Red wine. Husband.
I feel like that's the trend.
Yeah.
I love it. Where's like my couch?
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much for jumping on with us today. Really loved jumping in and chatting about these different apps and what they're doing. And I found it really super enlightening, especially just the joy and the fun behind them really just makes me love them even more than I already did.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And the last part, that was really fun.
Good. Oh, good.
Yeah, actually, you learn a lot about a person, I think, when you ask these questions.
Yeah, definitely. Like, and fun questions, things that you might not ever ask anybody.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. Oh, awesome. It was so nice talking to you. And I guess you will do that with the Daisy giveaway and things, right?
Yeah, we'll have everything in the show notes. So for anyone who's listening, all the links and codes and goodies will be in the show notes. So anything you need to know. And thank you so much for donating a Daisy to our launch party gift bag giveaway. If you missed that, keep an eye out because on Daisy's social media, they do giveaways. So if you missed the Period Besties launch giveaway, you haven't missed out on your chance to score a Daisy. You just have to pay attention to their social media. Should tell the world that.
Thank you so much for joining us, sharing all this amazing information. And we can't wait to see all of you on our next Period Besties podcast episode. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. Bye.
A big shout out and thank you to our sponsors for today's episode, Period Coaching School and Katie Bresek Wellness.
Thanks to you, our favorite bestie, for listening to the Period Besties podcast, where no topic is TMI. And of course, share this episode with your besties.
Remember to leave us a 5-star review. Nothing less than the best for us besties. And subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can follow us on Instagram at Stasha Washburn and at Katie Bresak, or email us at
periodbestiespodcast@gmail.com. Check out more about us at katiebresak.com and periodcoachingschool.com. And of course, check the show notes for free goodies and extras that support this episode.
We'll see you on the next episode.
Bye for now, besties.